I like all the different people. I like sticky everywhere. Look around, you bet I'll be there. Hot metal in the sun, pony in the air. Sue and saints at the fair. Saints alive or saying.
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, and beyond. Listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Jada, and I have been a semi-resident of the library since the start of the summer. I should start paying rent, I think.
And I'm Emily. I'm probably there even more than Jada, because I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, but maybe not. It's a competition for sure, but yeah, I'm from Hudson, and we're here every week talking about books.
Books we love, books we hate, and bookish things.
And that's what we'll do today. We're sometimes joined by our friend, Latia, and we're open to other friends joining us sometime if they want to talk about books. If anyone out there listening wants to join us and talk about books, you're welcome to do so. Just stop by the Hudson Area Library and ask for Emily or ask for information about Bound by Books. Or you can email info@hudsonarealibrary.org. That'll get to me and I can figure it out. But I love chatting with Jada about books every week on the radio and also in the library. As a semi-resident, I do see Jada a lot.
Well, today,
No, it's okay. Go ahead.
I was just going to mention, today my book choice is a little different than what I've normally been doing. Mom got me this because she thought it would be interesting, and I certainly found it interesting. It's called White Fragility, Why It's So Hard for White People to Talk About Racism by Rompa DiAngelo. And it is very, you know, eye-opening as someone who is Black, and you know, a lot of my friends are white. I sometimes dealt with hearing some slightly, racist things or stuff being mentioned. And this book opened my eyes as to why. The author herself is white, which I first was against, but then realized it's probably the best way to, reach the audience that this is intended to, because it's about schooling people of lighter skin onto how to change and, adapt for the better. So I'll just read the blurb in the back. What is white fragility? In this groundbreaking and timely book, anti-racist educator Robin DiAngelo deftly illuminates the phenomenon of white fragility, referring to the defensive moves that white people make when challenged racially. White fragility is characterized by emotions such as anger, fear, and guilt, and by behaviors including argumentation and silence. These behaviors, in turn, function to reinstate white racial equilibrium and prevent any meaningful cross-racial dialogue. In this in-depth examination, D'Angelo explores how white fragility develops, how it protects racial inequality, and what we can do to engage more constructively. So it's not exactly my usual read, but I found it interesting because it had stories of her, reaching out to the community and showing how her own white fragility pops up in some places, and how she's seen other people show up in some places, and some tools to recognize it and to work towards getting rid of it. Because even if this book points out, even if you're not like you claim yourself as being, not racist and, not prejudiced. Which is a very silly meaning, as everyone has prejudices about everything, whether it's food or like a certain kind of band. So it's just working through those prejudices to make experiences more comfortable for everyone.
Yeah, that seems like a good thing to strive for. And so, from what I don't know if you've finished it yet, but from what you've read, do you feel like it's a good resource?
I think so. I did finish it, yes, and I
Oh, you
feel
did.
that it's very helpful. And you, for example, if you're feeling, guilt over this or like an intense reaction to someone calling you out on it, what's a really important thing you can do would be, instead of, immediately going on the defensive, stopping and asking yourself, why am I having these feelings and are they really, are they conducive to the environment and what do they, and are they bringing up a valid point? Instead of, trying to shut down the conversation.
And for you reading it, like you're obviously not the target audience for the book because it's intended for more of a white audience. What was that like reading a book that you know you're not the target audience of? Was it, did you feel like, I don't know, did you feel like you were, were you trying to read from the perspective of how a white person might read the book, or were you reading it just as yourself? And I don't know, it's just an interesting experience.
It was, and I do think that it's a resource that you should look into because, as the author mentions, if you have a defensive feeling, say once you learn about what it is, then you're probably one of the people that we're talking about. Like, oh no, I'm not this. I could never be like that. It's the same sort of mindset.
Yeah, or people that say they don't see race.
That's an even bigger problem.
Yeah.
So it mentions all of these things and how people can work together to get over the hurdles.
Well, that sounds great. I think I'm pretty sure I read that book, but I can't remember if I read a book with a similar theme or if it was that specific one. It was some time ago. But I think it's always good to read books that give readers, especially white readers, ideas about how to be more anti-racist and to challenge your own prejudices or recognize them and to listen when people call you out on things and to reflect and try to be better, you know?
I think it's always important for people to try to be better.
What's the point otherwise, you know? We should all figure out ways to grow as human beings in various ways. And if it makes life better for your friends and neighbors and colleagues, it'll make it better for yourself as well. Try to make the world a better place every day and to pay attention to your own behaviors and ideas and thoughts, words. And what's the author of that book again? I know it's White Fragility.
Robin DiAngelo.
I have a very, very different book to discuss because mine is a book for young people and it is A graphic novel. Although I'm curious, I wonder, I didn't check, but I'm curious, I can't remember if White Fragility is one of the books that was, if there's a young people's version of that. Because I know a lot of anti-racist, like popular anti-racist books had young versions made. I'm curious, but I'll have to look that up later because I can't do it right now. But anyways, this book that I'm reading now is a graphic novel that's an adaptation of a middle grade novel by Jacqueline Davies, who I believe maybe lives in the area. I'm not positive, but I think she maybe lives around here. Doesn't suggest it in her bio, but I'm pretty sure she's a Hudson Valley resident. Don't quote me on it though. So she adapted her novel, The Lemonade War, into a graphic novel. It's illustrated by Karen de la Vega. And The Lemonade War is one that I've known about for a long time, but I've never read. And so I saw the graphic novel came out and decided to try that out. And it's about two siblings, the Treskys, Evan and Jesse. So Evan is the older brother, Jesse's the younger sister, and they live with their mother. And it's about the two of them getting into a war of economy between their two lemonade stands and about their relationship and sort of the economics of their lemonade stands and also some family dynamics and personal challenges they each have. And one of the conflicts seems to be coming from their different abilities in school. So Evan's the older sibling, Jesse's younger. Evan's really people smart. Jesse's very good at math and does really well in school and does so well that they find out that she's moving up a grade. And because the school is so small, they're going to be in the same class. And it seems like that's where a lot of the tension's coming from so far. I haven't finished the book. And then Jesse also, it so far it hasn't been explicit, but it seems pretty clear that she's neurodivergent. So she is super smart in math, but doesn't always pick up on social cues, facial expressions. So that plays into it a little bit too. And so far, I like it. I read one review of the book that felt like the graphic novel didn't live up to the middle grade novel, but since I have nothing to compare it to, I'm liking it so far. But I'd be curious to hear from readers that have read the book and the graphic novel to hear what they think, because I just read one review that said that and was curious. But I think the artwork is nice. It's not maybe my like go-to style for graphic novels, but I think it draws you in and it's full color. And I like graphic novels with like sibling dynamics. I think those are fun. So yeah, The Lemonade War by Jacqueline Davies with illustrations by Karen de la Vega. And Jacqueline Davies has written a lot of books. I don't know. I've never seen Karen de la Vega before. I'm not sure. This might be her debut. In her bio, there aren't other works noted. That's the middle grade book that I've been reading most recently. The other book I read recently is a short novel written for adults, but I think would be youth friendly, that is called Automatic Noodle. And it's by Annalee Newitz. And it's set in the near future, but not too near. So I'll read the description for this one. While San Francisco rebuilds from the chaos of war, a group of food service bots in an abandoned ghost kitchen take over their own delivery app account. They rebrand as a neighborhood lunch spot and start producing some of the tastiest hand-pulled noodles in the city. But there's just one problem. Someone or something is review bombing the restaurant's feedback page with fake bad service reports. Can the bots find the culprit before their ratings plummet and destroy everything they created? So this is a very short novel, very quick read. I listened to the audiobook and I think it was like 4 hours maybe. It's very short. So it's in this future setting where I forget if it's California or just the Bay Area, but I think it's all of California is no longer part of America and there's been some war that was part of that separation. And yeah, they just start operating this business, a bunch of different types of bots, and trying to figure out how to survive when their business is getting challenged and how to rebuild. So I think it'll have a lot of readers, in part because of the length, but also it's just like a cute little idea. It wasn't like my favorite book ever, but I think for a short read, I enjoyed it. And I think it would be a good crossover young adult read. So yeah, that was my other recent read that felt somewhat youth oriented or friendly at least. But while I was talking about that, Fatia joined us. Hi, Fatia.
Hi.
We're so glad you're here.
Nice to see you again.
You too.
So we just shared some books that we've been reading. What did you want to share today?
I had a poem I wanted to share. It's called Summer's End. One by one, the petals drop. There's nothing that can make them stop. You cannot beg a rose to stay. Why does it have to be that way? The butterflies I used to chase have gone off to some other place. I don't know where. I only know I wish they didn't have to go. And all the shiny afternoons, so full of birds and big balloons, and ice cream melting in the sun, are done. I do not want them to be done.
You feeling sad about summer ending? Is
Yeah.
that what inspired that poem?
Yes.
What was the best thing for both of you this summer? What are some highlights from the summer?
Mostly not having to go to school and wake up early.
Sleeping in. Does that sound nice? What about fun things that you saw or did or experienced?
Eating ice cream, and like the sun is out and like mostly doesn't rain in the summer.
Except when it really does. We had a couple really big downpours.
Yeah.
But you need those when it doesn't rain very often. Maybe not that much rain, but rain does help cool it down, especially. How about you, Jada? What were some of the highlights for you from the summer?
Hanging out at the library for a billion hours.
Yes.
The best place.
Yay. I think some of my highlights, I had a couple family visits. One, my family came to visit here in Hudson, and we went to the city, which like New York City, which was fun, and then went to visit my husband's family, and that was really nice too. That was down south, which at the time I've always been scared of down south summers, but it was a lot cooler there than it was up here at that time, so it was actually an escape from the heat in a weird way. But I also read a lot of great books this summer, and I enjoyed being in the garden. And yeah, it was fun at the library this summer, and it's still going on through October. The whole library system is doing this road trip. So people can get like a map at their home library, and then they're encouraged to visit as many libraries as they can in the library system, which there's 66 libraries, and including branches, there's 70 locations that you could visit. And there's like little incentives for like if you visit all in one county, I think you get a magnet for your car or a magnet in general, I guess. I think if you visit like a certain number, you get a sticker. And then if you go to half, you get a tote bag. And then if you go to all, you get like a special library card that says you're like the MHLS Road Trip Superstar or something like that. Sounds really cool. And over 60 people have already done all of it, which is wild to me how many people have done the entire thing. But it's been really fun as a librarian having people come visit, and you see them walk in, and they often have their maps in their hands, so you know why they're there. They're coming to get their little stamp on their map. But it's so nice talking to them and like hearing about their home library and all the different libraries they visited and kind of cheering them on. So that's been really fun. And that does continue through mid-October. So if you're just hearing about it for the first time, there's still time to participate. Also enjoyed talking on the radio with you all this summer. I actually haven't seen Fatia in a while. I think it's been a few weeks, but seen Jada in person a lot at the library, which has been very nice too.
I told you, I gotta start paying rent.
Yeah, gotta figure out what to charge for your utilizing a free space, free public space. I don't know how we would charge rent for that, Jada. I think you might just have to go for free.
Dang it.
Oh well. But we're actually out of time for today, so we're going to say goodbye. But we hope everyone out there listening has a great week filled with lots of quality reading time. And we'll be back next week to talk about some more books. Until then,
Happy reading.
Happy reading.
enjoy the rest of summer.
your thumbs up, girl, with the smell of hot desk and the glitter of your style. He was right, he was right, he's the guru of the city, now and tall, the city councillor. I know you can tell me again, I got my mobile phone, it's full of silicone. But I've seen a pattern emerge. I will race you up the hill where the boy who made records out of postcard messages and flowering cherries rain on kids like
summertime, only just Summertime, I've only just turned 21, you'll be okay.